The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the 4th chapter of 1 John, beginning with the 16th verse. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. In Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, dear fellow redeemed, after just a few years of marriage filled with conflicts and struggles, a young couple decided that the only thing that they were going to be able to do to save their marriage was to go to counseling. They went to the counseling center, and immediately the counselor jumped in. What seems to be the matter? Young man sat there, face down, looking between his legs, and said absolutely nothing. On the other hand, his wife started to talk 90 miles an hour, describing everything that had gone wrong in their marriage. After listening to her for about 15 minutes, the counselor gently got up and went over to her, put his hands on her shoulders, and kissed her passionately. After that, she didn't say a word. He looked at her husband, who stared in disbelief, and said, "That's what she needs twice a week." And he scratched his head a little bit and said, "Well, I guess I can have her here every Tuesday and Thursday." By the way, I haven't done it yet this morning, Rebecca, either. But seriously, love is needed in every human relationship, and especially in marriage. This text from 1 John speaks of the love that is absolutely essential in the married estate. It says, God is love. But what is this thing called love that we talk about all the time? In the scripture, we know it centers in Christ. But in our society, we've got lots of different ideas about love, don't we? I was around in 1965, and there was somebody called Jackie D. Shannon, and she sang the lyrics, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." But what is this thing called love? For many, what they consider to be love is really selfishness. I need this person, or I'm in love with this person because that person, he or she, fulfills my passions, my cravings, and my needs. What I need is first important. And with that kind of an attitude, we're really using the other person, aren't we? And then there is maybe the most predominant view of love is feelings and emotions. Just look at our language. We fall into love. We fall out of love. The implication of that is that love is something that happens to us over which we have no control. So then if there's a time when there's no feelings, does that mean that a relationship is over? Sad to say, we are often very selfish in our relationships, and we have some very confused ideas about what love is. The text reminds us that love centers in Christ. God is love. We love because he first loved us. Love is, first of all, not feelings and emotions, but it is a self-giving. God so loved. What did he do? So loved that he gave. we're told in the familiar John 3:16 passage. Love, then, is a giving of oneself. God the Father in heaven loved us so much that he gave his Son as the bridegroom of the church. Jesus left heaven's high throne to save us, his bride, lost in sin. He rescued us from the bondage of sin through his holy life and holy death, where he won salvation for all. He washed you and I clean in his blood. And that treasure is brought to us in baptism, where we became his bride and we were given the wedding ring of faith. In the Lord's Supper, we're sacramentally united with his flesh and blood so that we partake in the divine being like him and have the promise of the wedding feast of heaven. So then, this divine self-giving between Christ and his bride, the church, is intended to be reflected in the husband and wife relationship. Our marriages are to be an icon, a picture of redemption. True love, because of what Christ did, will show forth from us to all around us, and especially to husband and wife, and to family relations. Think about it. Jesus loved us so much, his bride, that he gave his own life to save us from hell's destruction. That's the picture that is to be emulated in the husband and wife relationship. As Christian husbands today, we, following Christ's example, will love our wives to such an extent that we will do all for them, even give our lives for them. The needs and concerns of one's wife comes before personal needs. And then the other part of it, as we, Christ Church, honor, love, and obey our Savior in all, so the Christian wife will honor, love, and obey her husband in all, who is willing to do all, even give his life for her. That's the picture that Scripture gives us for the blessed God-instituted marriage relationship. The Lord remains the center of the Christian household as he shows us how to give self-sacrificing love. And if those feelings and emotions are gone in our relationships today, the only way that they can be changed is by giving of ourself to that person totally and completely, and being strengthened through the means of grace. The Lord will remain the center of the Christian household as we make use of his coming, the means of grace. He then is going to be the unseen guest in our house at all times, and the unheard listener in every conversation. We won't look upon that as an intrusion, but as a wonderful, wonderful comfort. He will provide all we need to support this body of life. So then, as for those of you who aren't married, there's adjustments when it starts out. You are two people, two different people, and there's oddities between Rebecca and I. There still are. And it's going to continue. But the Lord will be there as your divine counselor. He's there to help in every need. Rather than growing apart after all those years of marriage and become two stubborn, cold individuals living in two different parts of the house, We'll discuss our problems as two Christians. Reach a God-pleasing solution and then forgive and forget as Christ has forgiven us. In times of sickness, he's there as a divine physician. When it seems like everything is going wrong, he'll pick you up as husband and wife and hold you secure. So now, do you to assure yourself of his continued presence in your relationships as husband and wife, you'll read and study God's word where he comes to you as your counselor, giving you aid, comfort, and hope. Go to him daily in prayer. Here you have direct communication with the Almighty and receive his wonderful supper where he gives you the strength to do all things, to love each other the way he loved you. What is this thing called love? The text says, God is love. It is God's divine self-giving. God the Father loved you and me, every one of us, so much that he gave his own son for our redemption. Out of thanks, we will let his love shine through us to everyone around us. Christian husband and wife will love each other with God's self-giving love and walk in Christ's love until that time that we walk with him forever above. Amen. Let's arise. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Father in heaven, you who instituted the state of matrimony, that it is to represent the spiritual marriage and unity between Christ and his church, look mercifully upon all those in this estate, that they may love, honor, and cherish each other, and so live together in faithfulness and patience, in wisdom and true godliness, that their home may be a haven of blessings and peace through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We continue with the hymn.